Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm in a series, non-negotiables. And it's easy for me, the whole idea of non-negotiable. I'm not a good negotiator, so if I go in to buy something, I have a number. If you agree to that number, I buy it. If you don't, I walk. I'm married to Sandy. I'm not married to anything else, and I'm not going to negotiate. I'm in covenant with God. I said I'm in covenant with God. God has made covenant with me, and you know what he's done? He's removed the separation between me and him, and what he's done now is said, look, you see all this? See, I got it. What happened is I gave my life to Jesus, and the preacher pointed at me and said, he said, man, look at me, listen. And he was real stern, and it offended me. And I'm like, you don't talk to me that way, okay? Because I was like this far from being a sinner. I'd moved like one little notch. And he said, look at me. He said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm like, and you know what? It arrested me. See, that's what the word does. The word, what the Bible says is that we apprehend what has apprehended us. The word has apprehended us. See, we can't get away from it now. See, Jesus was the word made flesh and he dwelt among us because we live in the flesh and we have to turn into the word. See, we're the express image. We're a mirror image of Jesus. Jesus was the word and he became flesh. We were flesh and now we've become the word. See, the word's in us now. The word is what's producing fruit in our lives now. It's not all the toil. It's not all the blood, sweat, and tears. It's the word that's working in us. Man, the word's working mightily in us. You know, it's interesting because, man, I got out of the shower this morning and I was just, and I just started singing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." You guys, I was in 1979 when church music was awful. No, it was terrible. And we'd sing like, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Anybody remember that? And we got through it. But listen, I started singing that song this morning, and you know what? It changed the atmosphere of my life. See, that's what the word does. That's all that is. It's just the word. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So how do we have that strength? As we speak that strength. See, that's how it happens. And I look at Revelation, and it's interesting, and I'm not going to preach from this today, but this is non-negotiables. Why? Because we don't negotiate. See, we're not those who, I don't split the difference. Man, let me just tell you, that's when you know that that things are coming your way, when the adversary or the other person across the table saying, "Hey, would you like to split the difference?" No. You better just keep on coming, Jack. Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. See, so we don't negotiate. That's just it. See, the church has negotiated for so long. No, it's not that big a deal. No, it's a big deal. Man, there's so many people that are espousing, well, you know, that there's all kinds of gods and we're getting to them in different ways. No, there's one way to God and his name is Jesus. And that's what we've got to understand. The book of Revelation, when you do the history of what got John to this revelation, it is shocking. They boiled him in oil and threw him on a prison island with no guards or law or anything. And he writes this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, listen, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God. See, that's what we're doing right now. We're bearing witness to God's word and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Now listen to this next verse. Blessed is he who reads this aloud. See, that's what the original text that reads this. Blessed is he who reads this aloud. And to those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. And then he said something. The time is near. See, understand that as we read the word aloud, as you read the word in your family and with your friends and in your small group and to your children, man, what happens? A blessing comes upon their lives. See, we've got to understand this. We've got to understand that there are winds and that there's a wind that comes from heaven, and that wind is favor. And as long as our prize is the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that wind of favor just propels our lives. But let me tell you, there's also a wind of trial that the world has. And that's the word, that's the wind that we've got to keep the rudder strong. And that's our tongue. That's what the Bible says, that the rudder of our life is our tongue, the words that we speak. We've got to be vigilant. You know, the Bible doesn't say that you're held accountable for every idle action. It says every idle word. See, that's what we've got to, that's going to take place. See, so now we go to Ephesians. And Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, Paul writes, listen, he says, finally. You know what that means? Once and for all. You know what finally means in Ephesians 6:10 here? It means, and most importantly. So he says, finally, and most importantly, once and for all, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, now more than any other time in my life, let me tell you, I want this to echo through your soul. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you're like, okay, I want to be. Okay, next step, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to stand, simply stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not about the debates. It's not about the election. It's not about all kinds. Let me tell you, it's about us taking a stand. That's the idea. The world is just looking. Let me tell you, look at the landscape of our society and you show me strong leaders. Why? Why is this in Ephesians? Why did Paul write this in Ephesians? Why am I preaching this today? Why is there a blessing that comes upon your life because we read this aloud? It's because God's looking for his people that are called by his name to humbly stand for righteousness. See, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God isn't what we eat and isn't what we have. No, the kingdom of God is righteousness. How do we have that? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus and us saying, God, I give the lordship of my life to you, to your son Jesus. Man, Cassie, my daughter-in-law, sent Sandy and I a video of Charleston. And she said, Charleston, what'd you do today? And she said, I asked God to come into my heart. She's like 4 years old. And you'll say, well, yeah, but got to make sure that her doctrine's all. No, you know what? That video, yeah, it blessed me that she said it. But let me tell you, it blessed me that I heard it. Let me tell you, I've asked God to come into my life. What happens when God comes? What? Let me ask you a question. What happens when God comes into your life? What happens? What happens when God, the healer, comes into your life? What happens when God, the deliverer, comes? Bobby, 2 years ago, was doing drugs and running the streets. What happened to him? God came into his life. God's a deliverer of all kinds of evil. And that's what we have to understand about this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But listen, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. See, when you take a stand Expect to have to withstand. Expect it. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. See, the idea of this, having girded your waist with truth, man, you've got the truth that's cinched up your life. Having put on the breast, it all starts with the truth. And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why? It covers our heart. It protects our heart. Having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and prosperity. Man, how can we stand? Because our feet are shod with prosperity and peace beyond our understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And above all, finally, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Listen, being watchful, but how? How? How do we stand? How do we watch? With perseverance. The average temptation is a matter of seconds. Seconds. That's why it's so frustrating when we succumb to frustrating. We succumb to temptation. Why? It was just a matter of seconds that we withstand it. See, but the deception of the enemy, our flesh can't tell the difference between temptation and sin. That's like I'll hear preachers say, "Well, I'm not tempted with that." I'm like, Jesus was tempted in like manner as all of us, yet knew no sin. Why? He was able to withstand. Why? He put the truth first. It's not a badge of honor to say, "Well, I'm not tempted with that." No, we don't get a gold star on our chore chart. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, he said, look, pray for me that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what Paul's thinking? He's thinking Rome. I'm going to Rome. Pray for me, for I'm an ambassador in chains, that I'm able to speak boldly, listen, as I ought to speak. Man, we can't do this timidly. I don't even want to go cowardly. There's one way, there's one thing. The common result of every person in the New Testament that encountered the Holy Spirit was boldness. One thing. See, many of the greatest revelations of my life. The first one was, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But they happened during incredible hardship. You know, the initial hardship that I had as a believer is, I was separated from all my friends, all my relationships in life, every one of them. See, but I'm not alone in this. Think about Paul in prison. Think about John on the Isle of Patmos. Think about Jesus through his sufferings. And not just the cross, but the sufferings of being with the 12 men that hooked up with him. See, this is the time in our lives where God wants to do his greatest work. This is the greatest trial the church has ever encountered. Science and even government is telling us not to come together, but yet the word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which some do, which isn't wise. See, we look at this, we think about this. Think about 2 Corinthians 12. You know, it's interesting too in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy, after he'd already explained to them spiritual gifts. And then he said, earnestly desire them. Let me tell you, it's not just about us knowing it. It's about the earnest desire and expectation of the will of God in our lives. And 2 Corinthians 12 says, in our weakness is made his perfect strength. And you know why? God's grace is sufficient. Yes! God's grace is sufficient no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with. Paul got revelation of this and said, I'd rather be weak in myself and strong in the Lord. We're never alone. God is for you. God is with you. His grace is sufficient. God is for you. We're never alone. He's always with us. See, I gave God, I believe that God gave us provision to propagate the gospel, to get the gospel out. God gives us provision for that. He's done it with the nightmare. He's done it with motorcycle rallies we've had. He's done it with work days. Man, going to Skytook, and you're thinking, well, what'd you do? Well, they renovated a dozen yards. Man, we do that right, it's life-changing for the whole neighborhood. Man, Rudy Giuliani, when he was the mayor of New York, said, let's just start replacing broken windows. And they started doing it, and it caught like wildfire. Just think if we do that with the gospel. But I believe God gave us the provision to propagate the gospel, to live in a country where we're free to preach God's word, and then to reach the world for Jesus. And what is just amazing about America, it wasn't the down the line amendments to the Constitution. The first amendment to the Constitution, the very first one, those guys, I'm going to read it to you, and I've never done this before, but then we're going to go to two passages that fit this perfectly. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now listen to this. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Or abridging the freedom of speech. Or of the press. Or of the right for people peacefully to gather or to assemble. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There are two passages in this that cause me to appreciate the First Amendment today. Number one is, and in looking at this, in Romans 15:20. You guys still here? And so I've made it my aim to preach the gospel. Now listen to this. Not to where Christ was named. Not when it's comfortable in our guarded, secure settings. You know, it's interesting. I have a dear friend, and his daughter and son-in-law are a part of the church and here today, but he, as a college student, went over to Russia, and they, at that time, they were packing Bibles and smuggling Bibles into Russia, and they got caught smuggling Bibles. And so these college kids, they stripped them, and they were down to their undergarments, and they put them in this office, and they sat in this office for what seemed to be for hours, and I'm not sure how long it was, but finally this officer of the Russian guard came and sat at a desk and started threatening them because they had broken the law and they'd brought Bibles into Russia from America, which they weren't supposed to do, and they knew that. So they were sitting there, and finally he said, "What do you have to say for yourself?" And my friend Kyle just said, "Sir, I have one thing to ask you." He said, "What's that?" He said, "What in this book are you so afraid of? What is there in this book? What is the concern if there's a freedom of religion that comes into Russia?" And the guy was frustrated and slammed his fist on the desk and finally just walked out. They brought him their clothes and all their belongings except for the Bibles, and they got dressed and they had a train to take them where they needed to go. And they got on this train and they waited for a while. And the next thing you know, all these Russian soldiers and guards came in and they got on that train too. And he saw the man who interrogated them and he sat down. And the man just kind of looked at him and he sat down. And the first stop, some of them got off. The second stop, some of them more got off. And then finally this guy got off and he just walked down the sidewalk from the train and went to his house. And it dawned on Kyle. He told me the interesting thing is they were just doing what they were told to do. That guard didn't have any stake in it at all. Completely blind. Didn't have any idea about it. And I'll tell you that there was another time where they were having an underground church service and these guards all came in and they were screaming in Russian and he couldn't understand it, and a bunch of people left. There were a few dozen people there and a couple dozen people ran out. And when they ran out, he's on his face on the ground and all these armed guards had come in, and the head guard took off his helmet and put his weapons down, and all the rest of the guards did as well. And he talked to the man who was leading that small church gathering. And the man stood up and said, all you guys can get up. And he said, "They've come in here," and he said, "These guys are believers. They just wanted to find out who they could trust." You know, a lot of those people ran because they said, "Listen, if you're not a fully devoted follower of Jesus, go now." Oh, I heard that story and I thought, oh, that I never run from that kind of situation. Romans 15:20, Paul writes and says, "And so I've made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." He said, "But as it's written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see." This is the awakening people talk about. "And those who have not heard shall understand." For 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast, for necessity is laid upon me." And then Paul says this, "Yes, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do this against my own will, when it's so uncomfortable and it's so awkward, I've been entrusted with stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." See, what we go back to the very first scripture that I preached about the armor of God after Revelation. And here's what I want you guys leaving with today. Finally, we as a family, a church family, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Finally, once and for all, most importantly, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, we've got little catchy phrases like, "Hey, we're better together." I'm telling you, it's much more than that for me. I'm better with you. I'm better with this. I'm not a back down, back off guy. And you know, what's interesting is there might be a line drawn at some point. But let me tell you, I've already died on the hill God appointed me to die on. Jesus made himself real to me, and I gave my life to God. And now, 41 years later, my grandbaby is on video on my phone, and I've watched it 20 times. Revy, Queenie, I asked God to come into my heart. And me too. And you know what? He's not going anywhere. So I'm not going anywhere either. We have the right to peaceably assemble. Now, but stop. What we do with that is the key. This is I'm not about these little acts of civil disobedience. I'm about that prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to miss that mark. I'm not going to take my eye off the prize. And just let these words sink in. The high calling of God that's upon your life. The blessing that's come on your life. The blessings come on my life of speaking this out loud. The blessing on your life because you've heard it being spoken. Now, you know what? You take this word and you speak it aloud. And the Bible says in season and out of season, whether it's comfortable or it's not comfortable. Let me tell you, 41 years ago, I lost all my friends. Devastating day in my life. But I became a new creation in Christ, a new species of people. The world still doesn't get it. We're new creations. We're new creatures. We're new species. Our sins are forgiven.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.